Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
I'll tell you what. If we could just get excited about memorizing scripture, I mean, we might actually do something. So, no, it's great. Thank you, guys. Hey, one of the things that I love about Miracle Camp, and this is mostly from your cabin leaders and your ACLs, is whatever we do, you're into it. Life is better when you're into it. I'll tell you that much. So thank you. So at our house, we have a term called Thursday tired. Thursday tired is, it's hard, but it's not yet Friday. Friday, you're like ready to go still. It's a weekend. Anybody Thursday tired today a little bit? A little bit Thursday tired? It's okay. Well, stick with us tonight, because I think, I hope tonight is really helpful. That's my goal tonight. So we have 6 kids at our house. I think I told you that first night. And one of the joys of my being a dad has been reading aloud to my kids. So from the time that they were really little, we would do bath, book, bed. And we don't do that as much anymore. But when they were little, that was our routine. And one of the gifts that Amanda has given me, my wife, is she's a routine person. She's over here, right? She's an accountant. And so that has been a gift that she's given to our family. And one of the best parts of our routine has been reading great books together at night. And then we'll read the Bible together. We don't do that as much as we used to, which is sad, but it has been one of the great parts of our family. I listened to some podcasts. One of the podcasts I used to listen to was a guy named Michael Card. Anybody ever heard of Michael Card? Your parents have, but he's a musician, and he said that when he was 15 to 25, every night he would read a book of the Bible. So he would just go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and every night he would read the whole book. And he said, on some nights, he would have to be done with stuff by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon so that he could finish the book before he would go to bed. And some nights, you know, like when you have Philemon or 2 John, you know, it takes you 5 minutes. I thought that was so interesting. But how could you make that legalistic? From our example the other day, how could that become legalistic? Yeah.
Like if you already read your Bible and say that I'm going to read a chapter instead of a whole book, and you're already doing that, having to read a whole book a day would become.
So if you're saying if you read a chapter, but then you set this other goal to read a whole book, that might become legalistic? Yeah, okay, I see where you're headed. Anybody else have another thought on that? Yeah, go ahead, Matt. So sure, or if you're going to hoist that on somebody else, that's where it really becomes legalistic, right? Is if you're like, well, you know, this self-righteous would be, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but I read a book of the Bible every night, you know, every night. So, you know, that's braggadocious and, you know, kind of self-righteous. Legalistic would be that if you don't do that, then you're not really a Christian. Or at least you're not as good of a Christian as I am. Does that make sense? So I'm not saying this is what you have to go home and do, but I'm saying this is what this guy did. And I'll tell you what. He knew the Bible, right? So tonight, I'm going to read Colossians. So I want you to think about either one of two things. Either, first of all, you're part of the church in Colossae, and some things have happened, and you're wondering what's going on. Like, some suffering has happened. The person who started the church in your town is now in prison with Paul, his mentor. And you've gotten this letter. And this, the church in Colossians isn't like Crossroads Church in Wauseon. Okay. So you have to think it's like all of the churches in Wauseon. Because most of the churches were meeting in people's homes, and so they get this letter and they get together. So either, if that's your image, good. Or if your image is you're one of my kids and you're upstairs in our room, I'm on the big red chair, and you just took your bath, and it's time to get quiet, and you're going to hear me read. Okay, so one of those two images is where I want you to go. The other thing that I really want you to do is I want you to seek to follow the argument. Okay, so there's some things happening that we've already talked about. Paul is really excited about the gospel, that doctrine piece, and then he gives us some practice pieces a number of times. And Paul is really excited about the supremacy of God. So those are going to be the things. If you want, you can, if you're not as Thursday tired as maybe somebody else, go ahead and close your eyes and just listen. If you're going to fall asleep, keep your eyes open and put your nose in the book. And this will take, it takes about 12 to 15 minutes, but follow along or just listen closely and follow the argument as Paul writes it, as I read it. Ready? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in Christ. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the eternal spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are shadows of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. For from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all, is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. In whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's tonight's scripture. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you always, struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for people like Paul, people like Tychicus, who labored to make these letters get to where they needed to go, and then to be in our hand. It's a wonder, Lord, that we get to read the same words that were read 2,000 years ago. We don't take it lightly. So thank you for the scribes that have written these words over and over and over again. Thank you that we live in a place that a Bible is not a big deal, that we can have one in our hands and lots of different translations. Lord, I pray for the people that tonight would love to have a scrap of your scripture. Would you deliver your word to them? And would you help us to not take it for granted? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be together with your people this evening. Might your word run, Spirit do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's good, right? It's fun. Was that helpful to see the ark, to follow it a little bit differently? I hope so. That's how they would have done it, I think. It wouldn't have been in books, and there probably would have only been one guy up in front. We would have all probably had robes on. but I think it's an interesting thing to think about as we go through. And I would encourage you that as you have opportunity, don't hesitate to take a whole book in a big section, right? I went to a church where our pastor was in Romans for 12 years. He preached through Romans. It took him 12 years. I think there's a place for that. I think it's also super helpful to, when you're done with this week and somebody says, what's Colossians about? Hopefully, you'll be able to say three things. Colossians, that's a letter from Paul. It's about the supremacy of God. It's about the gospel and living in a way that's worthy of the gospel. Right? And wouldn't it be really great to be able to know that about all 66 books? To be able to say, like, oh yeah, Genesis, yep. Creation, fall, patriarchs, to Joseph. Yeah. So that there's a place for that too, I think, especially when you're getting into the scriptures. So we're going to talk about Jesus as Lord of our relationships tonight. We'll talk about a few different relationships, but as we do this, I always want us to come back to what's the therefore. Now, truth be told, there's not a therefore in this part of the scripture, but I do want us to think that this part of the scripture comes after Christ's preeminent, the gospel. And therefore, our relationships should look different. Our relationships should reflect the fact that, as he said, we've been forgiven a lot, right? So it shouldn't be a big deal for us to forgive. When Greg was talking about that that part of the scripture this morning, I thought of the parable of, you know, the parable I'm talking about, the parable of the guy who is forgiven, like, this huge debt, and then he goes out and goes to his buddy and is really ticked off and is, like, shaking his hand and shaking his shirt and, like, how could you, you know, it's just this really small debt, and the king hears about it and he's livid, right? All of us have been forgiven this huge debt. And so our relationships in all ways should reflect that. So we're going to talk a little bit about relationships in the family, relationships in our work. And the thing that you should know is Jesus is Lord of these relationships, right? And these, what Paul is saying is radical for the world of Paul's time. And it's radical for our time, right? To treat someone in this way, you're going to look different. It's interesting that Christians all through history, Christians are the ones who started hospitals. Christians are the ones who cared for people. Like, if there's a leprosy colony, the people who are caring for those people are Christians. When there's an outbreak, it should be the Christians, and has been down through history, who have been the ones to care for. In places like this, we should look different because of the supremacy of Christ and the gospel that we've experienced. So let's get into the scripture. Colossians 3. Verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. First of all, let me say this. If you're not married, which is most of you, you should. I think it's an absolutely amazing thing. It is the normative relationship in the church. Young men, I'm mostly talking to you. It is part of God's sanctifying work in our lives. God, it is not good for man to be alone. That's what he said in the garden. And if you're a young man of two wits, you know that. And so your job is to find a young woman who loves Jesus Christ and who's going to make you a better man. And your job is to be the kind of young man who loves Jesus Christ and who is going to do just what Paul said. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now again, none of you have a wife yet, but I'm telling you, that is a good thing. I'll talk more tomorrow night about my relationship with Amanda, but it is the number one thing that the Lord has used to make me more like him. And I think that is, again, the normative relationship. We can talk about Paul, and Paul was an exception when he talks about staying like him. That's my recommendation, and that's what I see in Scripture. Young women, find a husband that will love you like that. And if some guy comes around your way and you don't think he's going to love you like that, run. Don't put up with that. If he doesn't love you like that while you're dating, let me tell you this, it's not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, once that ring is on your finger, it's probably going to get significantly worse. But, young women, you have, as you become wives, you have a role as well. And it says, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And I think this is what we're talking about in the family are relationships of mutual respect and love under Christ's supremacy. So the husband is in submission to Christ, and that's how that's supposed to work. And so there's an opportunity that you have. If you are a part of a loving marital relationship, what a witness to the world. In our world where marriages are rocked and those marriages rock families that rock other people, I have a good friend who just found out this week that his wife had been having an affair with somebody for 2 years. That's nuclear. And that doesn't just affect their family. That affects lots and lots of people. A family, a marriage that reflects Christ in the church, which is really where what God made marriage about. So in Ephesians 5, he says, it's a mystery that the relationship between a husband and wife is actually reflective of Christ in the church. And that doesn't mean that Christ made marriage and he said, wow, hey, that's kind of like Christ in the church. No, he made marriage in order to reflect Christ in the church. It's a good, good thing. And family is a good thing. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything. As Greg would say, in everything. When you get to be a teenager, it's kind of like, actually, I actually know more of what I should be doing than you guys do. Parents become idiots from, I think, about like 16 or 17 until when their kids are 16 or 17 till maybe 23 or 24. That's actually not the case, right? Like your parents are giving you rules and guidelines and boundaries because they love you and they want the best for you. So children, obey your parents in
everything.
That's hard, right? It's hard. But you're doing this because this pleases the Lord. And then he has some advice for fathers. Advice, is this advice? Teaching for fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And I think some of you have dads like that. All of your dads are broken, terrible people. because they're sinners. And so some of your relationships with your dad, you've been provoked. And so you have to figure out how to wrestle with that. But the advice that Paul gives is, don't be harsh with your kids, lest you provoke them. Then he starts to talk about bondservants. So one thing that I think I need, and I'll hit this quickly, is that Paul is not condoning slavery here. He's not saying, hey, slavery, it's no big deal, so this is how you should go about that. That's not what he's saying. Because he just said there's neither slave nor free amongst Christians, right? But what he's saying is some of you are in this relationship of servitude. And so let's talk about that. How should that go? All the commentaries that I read said we can use these pieces of advice as in our work relationships. So how many of you have a job right now? You have a job, you work, okay? Most of you will have a job at some point. And this is great advice. I think what he's saying is great advice. Let me tell you, well, let's get through this and I'll tell you that story. So he says at verse 21, 22, slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. My dad worked in sales, and he would go around to different companies in our small town. He worked for a trucking company, and he would go around and sell their service. And he was with a person one day walking around and kind of touring their factory, and he saw a guy who went to our church. And he said, hey, so-and-so. I mean, my dad never told me who this guy was. But he said, hey, so-and-so. And the person who was giving him the tour said, as they walked past, they said, oh, you know that person? And he's like, yeah, he goes to my church. He said, that guy is lazy. And my dad told me that story when he got home that night, and it was serious. At our house, growing up, the number one thing that we did was we worked hard. If you did not work hard, you would hear about it. And so that guy had done two things. My dad was a really easygoing guy. He did not provoke. He was easygoing. But you want to get him rustled up, be lazy and mess with the church. And that guy had done both of those things. Because that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, we're representing Jesus Christ. And so don't be the person at your workplace that people say, well, if that's what a Christian is, right? Be the person who's hustling. Be the person who's knocking the ball out of the park. Be the person with your nose to the grindstone. Not as a people pleaser, but because you are representing Jesus Christ. He's the one that is going to give you the grade at the end of the day. I call it the mirror test. I talk to my employees and my kids about this. The mirror test is when you wake up, when you get home at the end of the day, and you look yourself in the mirror and you say, did you earn every dime today? If you earned every dime today, you can go to sleep with your head held high. I've had days where I earned every dime and then some that day. And then I've had some days where I look in the mirror and I go, well, this wasn't a good day. I could have done X, Y, Z, and it would have looked a lot different. Not just hard work, but how I treated the people, how I talk to my coworkers, how I complained, how I was content. This is what he's looking for. So bondservants, obey in everything those who are in earthly masters, not by way of eye service or as people pleasers. But then he says to masters, anybody supervise anybody? Have you ever supervised anybody? Where are my po people? We're back in the program office. Okay. I'm a supervisor. I have a team of about 12. And my job, some of you will be supervisors someday. How about any of you have little brothers or sisters? Get your hands up. Okay, you are a bouncer. You are a master in some ways, right? How many of you have ever had to take care of your little brothers or sisters? Okay? How many of you, any babysitters in the audience? Okay? I think this is a word to you, right? Treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven, right? He's saying, don't be a jerk. Come on. Like, care for these people. Care for them. They're not just your workers. Christ is your true master, whether you serve or you exercise authority. Christ is our true master. That's what he's saying in this. One thing that you should know, in the kingdom of God, our relationships are radical. We have brothers and sisters. We have wives and husbands. We have neighbors. These are the relationships that God talks about in the scriptures. And if we do this in the way that the Bible talks about it, it's going to look different. It's going to look different than what the way the world is doing this. If you are a worker at Pizza Hut and you're doing it like Paul is talking about it, people are going to say, wow, you're awesome. Way to go. At least that. They might also say, why are you like this? And you have an opportunity to say, well, hey, you know, I appreciate you, but my real master is Jesus Christ. My real boss, maybe you say, my real boss is Jesus Christ. Oh, that's cool. Right? If you're in a relationship someday with a husband or a wife, and you're loving them in this way, that is going to be a reflection not only to your kids, to your neighbors, to your church. And they're going to say, wow, this is different. These relationships in the kingdom of God are different. How do we do this? By grace through faith, right? That's what we've been talking about all week. The only way that we do these things is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and ask him for that.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.